My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Mateer takes the snap. He'll run himself, still up on his feet, looking for a blocker. He's still going to the 10, to the 5, dives in, waiting for the signal. Touchdown, John Mateer. 3rd and 20 from the 25. Doesn't matter. Mateer makes some magic again. His second rushing touchdown. Cougs back on top.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Second down at about 15. Here's the key. Turn it up. Nice run. Gabriel's got a roll 30, down the side 20. A block, inside the 5, touchdown, Dylan Gabriel!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
So a 31-yarder to win it from the left hash mark. Dixon puts it down, Myers gets it away. The Seahawks win the game in overtime against the Patriots. And there are a lot of 12s with their arms up right now saying, yes, the Seahawks win. They go to 2-0.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Happy Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
How we doing? How we feeling? Nice little football weekend for us.
It was a glorious football weekend.
Yes, it was.
The weather cooperated. Very weird to have a civil war in September, but at least it was kind of a rainy, cloudy day that made it feel a little, at least for us, it didn't look like it down in Corvallis. Not for them, but for us, yeah. At home, like for me looking out my window, there's a little bit of chill and a little brisk in the air, a few raindrops. We actually got dumped on Saturday afternoon.
Well, that's weird because we had a little rain. We didn't get dumped on, and we live like 3 miles away from each other.
It was pouring, baby. It was pouring over at our house, man. We had the umbrellas out. I turned the fire on, ready to carve up the turkey.
You turned the fire on?
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm just trying to feel normal. Nothing felt normal this weekend. I was trying to feel normal.
I will say, having watched that game, the weather made me not feel like it was the game.
No.
The outcome certainly didn't help, but the weather and the timing of the game didn't make me feel like it was the game.
No, so we joked about all summer. You're going to get a Civil War that's played in 75 degrees, 80 degrees in sunshine.
Yep.
And I have been to a lot of Civil Wars, too many to count, and I'm supposed to freeze my balls off at that game.
Exactly.
I remember being at one a couple of years ago at Autzen. The one last year was colder than hell. I left at halftime, I think. And I thought I had enough layers on, did not have enough layers on.
That was a night game.
It was a night game, late, cold. There was one a few years ago where it was earlier in the day, just freezing cold.
Yep.
That's what you're supposed to get. And when you see the two teams play with sunshine, it doesn't compute in your brain.
Even when it is sunny during that game, it's a cold sunny.
I can see the breath.
It's a deceptive sunny. It's like, oh, I'm going to be warm. No, you're not. You're still going to breathe. Your breath's going to come out of here. you got to have hand warmers in your mittens. Like, that's what it always usually is. And this year, it's like shorts, flip-flops, and sunglasses.
At the least that Fox could do, considering they broke up our conference, the least that they could do was, like, CGI breath in. Can we? Remember during COVID, we had to
would have made the Dylan Gabriel long run touchdown better.
There's like a trail of breath behind him leading out. Look at this. It's freezing in Corvallis today. No, no, it's not. It's 80 degrees.
You know, yesterday, too, because we had that happen on Saturday. And so yesterday, just all kinds of craziness with the NFL. I have a half hour, an NFL power half hour for you today.
I'm going to rant and rave about that Sunday night game at some point. That is such a bad beat.
And it took way too long.
It
was the third quarter. I looked down. I'm like, it's 8 o'clock.
It was an ugly game. What are we doing? Caleb Williams is getting murdered. He was going down left and right. You're up by 9 with however many minutes to go. Driving to go up by 15 or 16 points with a touchdown. You fumble on the... Not only do you choose to fumble on the 2-yard line, you then somehow allow Caleb, who had been eaten alive all night, to get out of the shadow of his own end zone just far enough to get into field goal range.
Yeah.
And then the drive stalled, and of course they bang in a 50. That was such a BS backdoor cover.
I think I was getting mad because I've been going to bed more on time for this shift.
Yes, you need to.
I haven't gotten enough sleep, and so I've been doing a good job. And last night, I'm like, I'm going to be in bed by 9 o'clock on Sunday.
It's a good goal.
I'm on the couch. I'm finishing my show sheet, and I'm sitting there, and that fumble happens. And every player, the Texans are having their heads held down. The Bears players are all screaming and pointing. There are 5 officials around this huddle, and none of them make the call.
No, they're just standing
there. I'm like, call it! It's Bears ball!
Give me a hand.
Call it!
Give me an arm, this
and
way
like,
or that way.
None of them wanted. No. The guy with the white hat walked away. He's like, I don't know. I can't figure it out.
I give up. It's too complicated.
And they finally indicated who I was, and I'm just like, thank you, you absolute pieces of crap. Just awful.
Help me out a little bit
get
here.
Get this game over with. I know the Bears aren't going to win. It got interesting, but I knew they weren't going to win.
Yeah, there was no chance they were going to score twice in the last 2 minutes of that game.
But I held on because we had, and I know not everybody cares to hear about it, but I think for show purposes, we need to share this. We had Survivor Conundrum happening.
Oh, buddy, I need to crowdsource this. People are taking shots at the commissioner right now.
Really? I'm not mad at the commissioner.
Well, I know why you're not mad at the commissioner. So
I thought either scenario I was good with.
This is more of we can get Swag's take on this and then your take on this.
Sure.
And I'll give you the commissioner take on this.
Okay.
So I run a Survivor pool.
Yeah.
For the listeners that don't know this, very small. We're not talking a $10,000 prize here. There's like 30-something people in it, mostly friends and family or friends of friends, people that are, we all know each other, right? Not a massive pool. As of yesterday, going into Sunday Night Football, there was one person left. So week one, about half the pool was eliminated. Sprague and I raise our hands.
All so bad.
On the Cincinnati Bengals. We were out in week one.
Well, I would say half the pool was out on the Bengals.
Half the pool was out. There was about 16 people left going into week two. 14 of them took the, or 13 of them, whatever, took the Baltimore Ravens.
As I would have on, if I was still in it. So I would have got eliminated too.
In week two.
Back-to-back weeks.
Oopsies. The Ravens lost. Two of them took the Dallas Cowboys. Why would anybody ever trust the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah.
But who am I to talk? I was eliminated in week one.
Exactly.
So they both lost in the morning slate and the afternoon slate. It's over. They're all out. There's only one guy left, and the one guy has the Houston Texans.
Ballsy
on
pick.
Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Really smart pick, right?
Yeah.
He held out Sunday Night Football last game of the day. So I'm getting texts of like, hey, what are we going to do? Who's going to be alive? How do we handle this? I'm like, first off, I don't have like a rule. I didn't think of this. Everybody gets eliminated in week two. What do you do? Has that ever happened in a Survivor pool where it's over in the second week of the season? What if the Texans lose? What are you going to do? I don't know, man. I didn't think about this. So here is my thought. Now, I haven't made a final declaration on this. I have 4 options that I could do.
Okay.
For the pool is over. The guy took the number one prize. He won the pool.
He won
the pool. That's done.
No, that's not in dispute.
Not in dispute. Now, I have a first place prize pool money and a second place prize pool money. Not a lot. Second place is like $400, right? Not a big deal, but it's fun to have something on the line, right? The rest
bucks,
of the season.
$400.
$50 to get $400. Yeah. I'd be happy with that return.
Right. So here are my 4 options. One.
4 options.
Since everybody was eliminated in week 2 by the first 2 weeks, and there's a 16-way tie for second place, I could Venmo each person $25 and just say you should, because that if you end in like week 13 and there's two people that tie for second, they both lose the same week. Usually they're fine splitting it. Like, all right, I'll take 200. I'll take 200. That's what I thought. Nobody wants $25. That's just dumb. No. That's a waste of everybody's time. You get half your money back. That's stupid.
No.
So that's option number one. Option number two. Since everybody else was eliminated and there's no clear number two in the pool, I just give the first place guy all the money.
No.
Takes all 1,600. That's an option that's
on the
table.
You could argue that that's maybe the right thing because of how truly god-awful we all are at this.
And he's the only one that got two games right.
But, no.
Right? That's what I thought, too. So then it comes down to, do I give everybody that lost in week two a mulligan to just continue to pick games for the second place prize? Or do I open it up to everybody since it was in week two?
You open it back up.
And that's, I see, I agree with you, but we also both lost in the first week.
Well, but so, you only got to week two. If this was week even three, four, five, or six,
that's
I
my
would
thought
say
as
let
well.
Them go, that's I lost.
Thought. Right, they got five games right, and then they. I don't deserve to have another crack at it.
Yeah, we're in week two.
But
here.
I got a bit of an issue giving a free mulligan for getting one game right. Now you get a free mulligan and get to keep playing for the money because you picked one game right? And most of them were on the Bills, by the way, who damn near lost in week one, but I digress. Well, so Swag is a week two loser. You were a Ravens pick.
My instinct, and this is not because I am among those that was in it this week.
These are the people I'm hearing from in the pool. Whoa, awfully generous. Everybody's back in now.
Would be because I think about it, you know, in terms of, you know, like golf, when you're trying to get spots like a qualifier from the U.S. for the U.S. Open and they go that last spot. So, I mean, doesn't matter. Yeah, I would.
What was that answer?
I don't know what you just concluded there.
Like,
I don't know where we're going with that.
My instinct, had I been the commissioner of this, would have been everybody from week two that got eliminated moves forward to playoff
for the
second place prize pool.
Now, okay.
Now, as a side thing, if you want to start a new one and people kick in again, start a new one.
Okay, here's my only, can I have a rebuttal?
I understand that means people got to go into their pockets again. Yes, I understand that.
I am fully resigned to the fact that I have lost my $50. Okay, I mentally done that. In fact, I'm ready to just Venmo Schultzy because at this point, the NFL's dumb and the Steelers are going to be like 13-4.
The Steelers are undefeated.
Okay? That being said, I do find it a little funny. And even if I was in the week two people or week one people, I do find it a little comical. Week two people going, no. We lost. We get the mulligan.
I get the mulligan.
But you week one people lost.
You don't get the mulligan.
You don't get a mulligan.
Right.
I find that very highbrow and hilarious. So your argument is you suck, you lost, but you get to start over. But I suck and I lost. I don't get to start over. So you know where my vote lies. But again, I've also resigned myself to the fact that I've lost my $50.
Yeah, I mean, I could do something like the week one losers could put in $25 to have a mulligan because you did. I mean, there could be something like that's done. Then maybe the prize pool's a little bit better to Swag's point. But I have chuckled at this because I didn't think that this would ever happen in a Survivor pool.
A Survivor League and pool. I told this to my gambling cohorts that our pool was basically down to one person on that game. They thought that was the funniest thing ever. And they're like, I've never heard of a Survivor League.
I don't know what to do. I don't know.
Being
what to do.
Done in week two. And I go, I never thought that would be possible.
The Ravens were up by 10 in the fourth quarter. My mom took the Ravens. She's doing a team with Teddy Ballgame.
10 so with like 5 minutes.
They're helping each other out. Like, she's on his team. They're on
the college.
So she's texting me,
it's
like,
inexcusable.
Where do we, you know, where should we go? I'm like, oh, the Ravens are the pick. And I was talking to her on the phone yesterday when it was like early fourth quarter. And they're like, oh, the Ravens are up by 10, mom. You're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And then you look up and you're like, wait a minute, what? How did they lose that game? How did you find a way to blow that?
I don't know how to frame this as a poll question, but we should throw this to listeners to see where they...
Yeah, I need listener support. I need listener help.
How do we frame this? We'll think how to frame this as a poll question, because I think it'd be really interesting to see. I think more people would actually be on his side of...
Probably.
No, week two only people. It's like, cool. So you lost, you get to keep going.
You get a mulligan.
I lose, I don't.
Yeah, you get... And I'm not arguing... Like, this
like
isn't
the Olympic pole vault, though. The tiebreaker is, if it only took me two times to get over the last height, and it took you three times, I'm getting a medal and you're not.
That's not... This isn't the Olympics. You picked one game.
How do you know that's the tiebreaker?
Because he's a nerd. What do you mean? How does he know?
He's a nerd. Why is that a random factoid that's tucked away in there?
You've known me for a while. Come on now.
I'm surprised you're surprised he doesn't
Olympic,
know the tiebreaker.
An Olympic pole vaulting. Yeah, I'm not arguing like week 12. Let's let everybody back in the pool and play for second place.
I think it makes it more exciting.
It's such a unique thing that everybody except for one person lost in the second week of the season.
Oh, go look at the schedule and you tell me who you're picking confidently going into week three, because nobody knows who they're
There's
picking.
There's zero confidence left.
We will get to the power half hour of NFL at 6:30. I'm going to do a local peekaboo coming up here in just a minute. We'll get into the Civil War stuff. I have been now framed, and it's one listener on Twitter. You have somehow made the messaging sound as if I'm welching on a bet, and I'm getting quite upset by this.
Yeah, you're a bet welcher. It's all right. It's okay.
I'm actually, it's bothering me.
People don't forget, Beavers welch on their bets.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Bunch of bet welchers.
Okay. Well, we'll get to all of that. We got the Apple Cup stuff to get to as well. Oh, and let me add real quick in the opening segment, because I have no time to get to this. If you gave me the option to vote for the president right now, today, in this very second, and that means I am opted out of commercials on my commercial breaks during football season.
No more TV commercials. I would take that option.
I wouldn't even hesitate. Here's my vote. There. Now stop playing these Trump and Harris commercials. I'm so tired of them.
Oh, yeah.
Every break. Democracy on the line. I'm fighting for the middle class. We had the best economy of all the economies. I am so tired of hearing this every GD commercial break. Let me vote and get out of this commercial stuff. I'm tired of it.
There should be a thing that you should opt out. Like, I'm a decided voter.
Can
I click that button?
Boom.
That way I don't have to go through your commercials anymore.
Everybody knows who they're voting for. Let us click the button so we can stop hearing this crap.
Yes, you're not swaying anybody's opinion. I did enjoy this. Somebody texted in. I think what you should do is everybody but the people to pick the Cowboys get to keep going in the pool for second place. That's not a bad idea.
I like it, but it's not fair to them.
Not fair to them.
Let's start with our local peekaboo. We have the Civil War and the Apple Cup this week, and we'll start a little peekaboo on that, and then it's our Power Half Hour NFL next on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back in. Listener Bob with a good suggestion on our Survivor conundrum. I don't know how to frame this as a poll question.
It's
I'd have to explain too much.
Convoluted. It's a it's an absolute jumbled mess.
Basically, listener Bob says, open it back up to everybody, including the person who already took first place. And that's...
Have him have Eakin go win second place, too. He get the whole damn thing.
You could argue he deserves it, because he at least got two picks right.
Well, that was my other thing of, like, if everybody's going to keep bickering about this, I'm just going to give this guy all the money.
I don't want to do that.
And I want people to have something on the line, because Survivor pools are fun, and it gives you something to watch on Sundays.
These week two people are cowards, is what I'm
hearing. Yes, they're scared.
Absolute cowards.
Shaking in their boots right now.
We all suck. Stop acting like you're better. According to ESPN's playoff predictor model, Georgia barely beating Kentucky dropped them to 70% chance. It's below four teams in college football.
Really?
Yeah. Can you guess the four?
The four that are ahead of them, I would guess Texas, probably the number one.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Ohio State.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Miami?
Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Tennessee has better odds, really?
This is just their playoff. I don't know how they're, you know, calculating this.
Who am I missing? Who's the fourth?
Obvious.
It's obvious.
It's an obvious. They rolled this weekend.
Alabama.
Tied.
There you go. Roll, tied, roll. So they barely beat South Florida, and that doesn't hurt their chances, but barely beating Kentucky.
They curb stomped Wisconsin pretty badly.
Lost their starting quarterback on the opening drive of the game, that impacted it slightly. Do we realize the last time Georgia barely beat Kentucky, they did what?
Yeah.
They won the national championship.
I don't make the percentages. Don't yell at me. Oregon's at 49%. And the Cougs.
Cougs.
They're ahead of Clemson, Oklahoma State, Utah. They're 24% chance.
I did chuckle at how big of a drop there has been for Oregon in the first 3 weeks, because they were up near the top of those percentages going into the season. Idaho game happens. It slips significantly. Boise State game happens. And I want to say after last weekend, their odds to make the playoff were like 29-30%.
Wow.
And then you beat Oregon State. That's all we needed to
see.
You
need to be a powerhouse.
Yeah, now you're back to a 50-50 coin flip. You got a good shot to make it.
Nice little weekend. Apple Cup coming down to the last play, basically, of the game. I know they ran a couple and the Huskies kept jumping off sides like a bunch of idiots. And Oregon just... bludgeoning my Beavs.
Hey.
I mean, that was, I had a buddy over who's a Duck fan, and, you know, we're one of those, like, we're really good friends, and I only don't like Oregon during this week, and it's one of those, like, we kind of pay each other compliments of our team. Like, your team's really good at this. Your team's not bad at that.
No, you guys look great today. You guys look great.
There's not really a lot of S talking, and I would say pretty quickly into that thing, we both knew what was happening, and we're like, steak tacos are done.
You guys hungry? You guys want some nachos? What's going on over here?
Good dip.
I would like to flip a double birds to TV executives out there. who elected to pick our two biggest rivalry games to not only happen in the same week of the season.
Exact same time.
At the exact same time.
On ways that I could not watch on a TV. Had to have one on an iPad and one on my television.
So I missed, like, I'm sure that I missed a significant play here or there in the Apple Cup because it's on the iPad. And that's just, you know, I'm watching them both, but you're going to look up at the TV on a big play and you look down, you're like, wait a minute, did he get sacked? What happened? Did I miss a big scramble? Somebody scored? It's just hard to keep an eye on both of them specifically at the same time. So screw everybody who decided that was a good idea. We care about these rivalries in the Northwest. One of them should have been at 12:30. One of them should have been later in the day. There were no Pac-12 after dark games or any night games in general. Cal San Diego State was like the only game at night that we had. I didn't watch a second of that. I was kind of footballed out by that time.
Kudos to our good buddy Justin Wilcox.
Undefeated
Cal. Now they go to Florida State.
They're getting points.
They're getting points.
They're getting points this weekend.
Dude. And he's yelling at his own crowd, stop throwing crap, you're getting us penalties.
You idiot.
The Fighting Wilcoxes could go 4-0 with a win at Florida State. That's not something I would have predicted
never
at the start of the year. So I was happy to see the Wilcox family continue to thrive down in Berkeley. I'm with you 100%. I probably did miss a key play or two during the Apple Cup, but once it got to a certain point, I'll be honest with you, dude. I turned the game off. I can't watch my team just get absolutely destroyed that way.
Totally understand it.
And the Coug Husky game was good. It came down to the wire.
Came down to the last play. I was just excited to see Dante Moore for the first time, so I'm still watching closely. We've been waiting for the victory cigar to get into a game. It hasn't happened for us yet this season,
sure.
So I was glued to the end of that game to see how he looked through a beautiful deep ball, by the way. Beautiful deep ball.
I gave my buddy a hot take that he's not going to be their quarterback next year. It's going to be Novosad.
Oh, no chance, buddy. No chance. How dare you?
He got mad at
that. Don't you bash my backup quarterback, but compliment my third-string quarterback? How dare you? I'm just glad that I can come in for the first time this football season and do a show on a Monday and not feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
You don't feel stressed today?
Look, if you don't think Oregon's the top three or four team in the country, that's fine. Like, we can debate that. Where's the ceiling? I don't know.
I don't think they've earned that label.
Deserve it at all. Even coming into the year, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I feel like I know a thing or two about this sport and about talent composite rankings and roster construction. Like, I feel like I'm not just a giant idiot.
That's me every Friday talking NFL.
And I watching this team the first 2 weeks made me feel like what am I missing? This is a talented team. I don't understand why this is happening and why you don't look better. It's just been really hard to wrap your mind around. And
sure.
So to finally look and be like, huh. Look at that. That's a good team. It's a good team. Now it's 1 week. You got to go do it again after the bye week. You got two more crappy opponents that you should absolutely bash their brains in. UCLA just got obliterated at home by Indiana. Michigan State not scared about them rolling Baylor School for the Blind on Saturday. Next two games should be cakewalks, and then you get Ohio State. But it just was at least nice for once this year to remember that there is a lot of talent on this team, and the gap in talent between the roster in Corvallis and the roster in Eugene is a massive one.
Well, I wasn't shocked that Oregon won in blowout fashion. That was kind of my little concern going into that game, is that Oregon figures that out, and it's kind of right matchup, right opponent at the right time for them. I was a little sad to watch my team get housed like that. I listened to a Twitter Spaces, and I had a lot of regret doing that.
No,
the
why
things
do you do that
I heard
to
Beaver fans saying.
Why do you do that to yourself, man?
I guess these are two different programs that I've seen almost my entire life between what I think and what other people think of Oregon State.
Yeah.
It was interesting, to say the least. We'll get back into the Civil War at the top of the hour. Oregon just blows out Oregon State, and Washington State with a big Apple Cup win against the Huskies this weekend on the Peacock Network.
That was, look, I no longer have to play Washington State. They were always a thorn in our side.
Yeah.
And a Cougar fan probably doesn't want me, but I don't really care. I'm the guy at game day with the flag. I'm rooting for the Cougs, man. I've always liked them. I almost went to college there. Beautiful campus. That was awesome for them on Saturday.
Do you think Coug fan lets you wave the flag with them?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
If you say, I almost went to college.
I was close, dude. It was down. To
you
Oregon.
Got in? You got accepted?
I did get accepted.
Yeah, then they ask him, where'd you end up going?
Yeah. Hey, give me that flag back, bitch. You're not having that.
My brother was in Eugene, though.
it was down between, they were in my final four, Lewis and Clark, Nebraska, Oregon, and Washington State.
Did you get into Nebraska?
I did. I got into all four.
Wow, what was your GPA?
I was good. I was a good student in high school.
Why were you so stupid in college?
You know.
Drugs?
Got a little sideways. Things went off the rails. What do you want from me, okay?
High school Andy didn't know what the cocaine was.
A lot of people go to college. college for 7 years, okay? What do you want from me?
Yeah, they're called radio hosts.
Yeah, exactly. Communication degrees are not easy to obtain, man.
Those four schools are so random. Nebraska, Oregon, Washington State, okay.
Washington State had a
good... Clark was just for football, right?
Yeah, Lewis and Clark was just for football. And Nebraska had, I have family that lived in Nebraska, yeah. And I went and visited, and they recruited me hard to kind of keep the family lineage of a Nebraska. My mom went to Nebraska, so there was the family lineage line there.
Right.
And then Washington State has a great broadcasting school, and I knew I wanted to get into broadcasting, and so that's why I looked at Washington State.
I'll get to the football power half hour. Here, give me the power ranking, like the decision. Well, how close was it for second place, and how close was third?
With my hats on the table.
Yeah, if you were to go back to high school, how close was it, or was that not hard for you to make a decision on? Because I didn't get accepted into three universities. I couldn't afford applications, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that they charge you money for
that. It was like $50 per app. But what was the percentage breakdown?
Probably Oregon was the overwhelming favorite.
It was overwhelming.
Overwhelming favorite. Okay. Second place was Lewis and Clark for the idea of playing football.
I'm going to go Purdue.
And then I decided that's, you know, I don't know about that. And then third place was Washington State. Fourth place was Nebraska.
Nebraska was fourth.
They were. A little too far away. A little too far away. I wanted to stay close to the nest.
Yeah.
I wanted to stay close. Got to flap my wings.
We'll get back into the Civil War. We'll get into the Apple Cup as well. Washington State with a big win. And, man, what their schedule looks like going forward. Are we talking playoff Cougs here? But coming up next, we'll go to the NFL. A power half hour of NFL talk next on The Fan. All right, we have to be on the clock here because I've got coming up next fun NFL factoids.
Love
it. Week 2 edition.
It's a little overwhelmed in that morning slate yesterday, to be honest with you.
10 games is too many at once, and 3 is too little, and especially when you make them the games that they were.
Can we make it
not quite enough?
8-5, please.
Something more even would be great.
Were there any blowouts in the morning slate? Because you had the Cards run away from the Rams in the afternoon.
Oh, that would be the Saints over the Cowboys.
Saints, okay. But they still showed it because it's the Cowboys.
But you keep holding on. The media has convinced us the Cowboys are really, really good, and so you kind of hold out like, oh, one more touchdown from CD and they're only down blank.
Here we go.
When they got to 40, you're like, well, that's a wrap. Yeah, that's over there.
Turn that one off.
It is a wild week.
Alvin Kamara.
Jeez, man, no kidding. By the way, I don't know if I owe the Saints an apology yet, but I certainly am looking like I'm going to be owing the Saints an apology. They are off to a rip-roaring start. We will get to some of that in the NFL factoids. This is our NFL power half hour. I might do this every week on Monday.
Yeah.
To just kind of break up the college to the NFL. NFL underdogs of 6+ points are now 8-0 against the spread through 2 weeks. They're covering the spread by 9.5 points per game. Most survivor pools, you mentioned ours in the opening segment, most survivor pools are all but cooked at this point. The Vegas sportsbooks said it was, quote, a bloodbath for everybody gambling.
I would imagine so. The Ravens are one of the best teams in the AFC. The Raiders couldn't score points against the Chargers. That felt like it was as safe and easy a pick as possible. Not the case. The Bucs and Lions won, I didn't quite understand all week. I'm proud at least one of us gambled that in spring in the line.
It was my only win.
Like, hey, we had a horrible weekend collectively, by the way.
Well,
just a horrendous gambling weekend.
That's the show.
That's the show. But that one, like the Bucs were a playoff team. That was so disrespectful to them to have them be north of a touchdown underdog, I thought, in that game. They're not the Raiders. They're not, you know, some of these other the Bears who, you know, were a bad football team last year who were a 6.5 point underdog on the road Sunday night and should not have covered the spread. I will be adamant about that. But it's the beauty of the sport, and it's why we love it, man. Nobody has any clue, and on any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. That's why the NFL is the king of the sport.
You could sit in a film session with a Jason Sukanik, a Dan Orlovsky, and they could show you things that you never knew before. And at the end of the day, you both walk out of there and neither one of you will know what the hell is going to happen week to week. And that's what's great about this league. It's why it's my favorite sport. It is outstanding. It wasn't the Lions, though. It was the Colts, the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Niners, and the Jags. Those were the 5 most bet on teams.
Mm.
Absolute bloodbath. The only thing we know for sure, I think, after week 2. For sure.
There's one certainty in the league.
There's two.
Oh.
There's two.
Okay.
The Chiefs are the best. Don't care about Pacheco. They're the best. Hey, they're going to win. It doesn't matter. You can give me all you want. The Chiefs are the best.
Bengals played a really good game, and it didn't matter.
And the Panthers are definitely the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is everything else debatable? Everything
pretty much.
Else.
Everything else is week debatable. To week. Everything else is fluid.
Thank you.
Everything else is about matchups.
Yep.
Everything else is about
who's injured,
who gets a key flag penalty call at the wrong time.
Those are the only two things I know for certain in week two of this football season, which is shaping up to be a great one.
Yes, it is.
The Chiefs are the best, and the Panthers are the worst. Now, let me ask you this. Which 0-2 teams are you willing to say today on a Monday? And we've got the Falcons looming, by the way.
So we do.
I'm not even including them in this.
I mean, I'm already mentally there with them being 0-2. Well, Kirk Cousins on the road in a primetime game in Philadelphia usually doesn't go well for him. Let's just be honest here, okay?
Okay. Which 0-2 teams are you willing to say today will be playoff teams? Ravens, Jags, Bengals, Rams, Colts, where would you go with the 0-2s?
There's only three that I will consider after the first 2 weeks of the season.
Which ones would you say confidently you're still putting them in the playoffs?
Just the one,
because,
just the Ravens.
On,
Baltimore's the only one.
Okay, we've had 21 teams start 0-2 in the 17-game era. How many have made the playoffs?
Not many. I know it's not a lot.
Three.
Three.
So yeah. This is a little bit of a death sentence here in this league. It was when it was just 16. 17 is showing kind of the same thing. Which one would you say you still have in the playoffs?
I would still bet on the Ravens to make the playoffs. Not the Bengals.
Not after what we saw from the Bengals?
Not after what we saw from the Bengals. To me, they had a good showing. They've had Kansas City's number, at least in the regular season. They're still a wildly inconsistent team. You have the Jamar Chase contract stuff where now he is pissed off with the way they handled it. He doesn't want to negotiate with them. The T. Higgins stuff, being in and out of the lineup. I have questions about them that I don't feel as sound about as I do with Baltimore, just because there's a bigger track record there. They both played Kansas City incredibly tough. The Baltimore Ravens were a quarter of an inch away from tying the game at the end. Cincinnati had the penalty late, so they both came close against the Chiefs, and they both have a head-scratching loss, one to the Raiders and one to the New England Patriots. But I just think there's more trust there with the health of Baltimore than where Cincinnati's at right now that I'd be willing to give them. The only other teams that I'd consider having a chance to make the playoffs are Cincinnati and then the Rams. But the Rams are way down there with the way they looked yesterday.
The Rams have nobody healthy.
No, and the injuries that they've gone through this year, I have officially, I'm going to bring back Sprague's old segment, considering what the division looks like. I probably shouldn't do this.
Don't do this segment.
I think I'm killing off the Jags, man. And I'm a Dougie P guy. Like, that was a bad loss.
You still a Dougie P guy?
I mean, he's got a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, so he'll always have that.
Oh, but I am not taking that away. It certainly is going to be an all-time Super Bowl win for him, but
they have been. I mean, you go
him
back
and
to the
Sean Payton,
him and at the end of the last regular season and the start of this year, just bad football.
That was bad.
Trevor Lawrence isn't playing good football. They had a big lead in Miami in week one. They let it slip. They should be 1-1. Yeah. They had their chances against, like, you lost a Deshaun Watson who can't do anything right now. That was a really bad loss.
I'll get to a little bit more of some of what we just talked about there, but man, NFL. Week two summed up, upset city, none of us know a thing. It's just absolutely insane what happened in the NFL this weekend. Coming up next, I'll kind of touch on most of the games. I got some NFL factoids I want to throw at you. So we'll get to that coming up next, and we'll dive into the Civil War at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. All right, we will get to the Civil War. You Duck fans, satisfied after this weekend. Beef fans, I think we're in weird places right now, but we'll talk about it at the top of the hour.
I'm going to be the wind in your sails today.
Oh, God. I don't think I want
You don't want
that.
My wind in your sails?
Blow somewhere else.
Okay. I'll go blow somebody else.
I didn't say...
What?
That. Okay.
Why would you do that?
From Andy Molitor.
What's wrong with you?
Right in the butt?
J.J. McCarthy is currently tied atop the rookie leaderboard for touchdown passes.
Well played.
NFL
well
played. Factoids.
That's well done.
Thank
that's,
you. And Penix, too. Yeah. Penix. He might take the lead tonight. If Kirk Cousins looks like ass, he could be in the second quarter, and he could take the lead.
Last night, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter generated 17 pressures combined. The Texans generated 36 pressures on 42 attempts, but they only get credited for 23 because they happened on the same plays.
that is a fantastic stat. Remember when people were picking the Bears to win the Super Bowl?
Well, it wasn't me.
Remember that?
I did pick them to
make
a wild
national
card.
National media members were Nick picking Wright. Them to win the NFC and go to the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback?
I'd love to hear the Nick Wright wiggle out of that pick.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't say that. Like, dude, stop. It's a rookie quarterback. Their offensive line still isn't very good. They're going to win
very
some games
good.
This year.
They're going to get him murdered. He's going to be Bryce Young if they don't fix that. That's a problem.
I know that all the rookie quarterbacks are a conversation. Jane Daniels did actually get a win this weekend, mostly with his legs. Bo looked awful again. To me, the biggest story, though, is the guy who was the can't-miss prospect. The other ones we could debate. Is Bo really an NFL guy?
There was the most pressure on Caleb, yes.
Like, Caleb is the can't-miss, easy, number one overall pick. Not all of it is his fault. His offensive line has been horrendous, and he's been under siege.
They can't run the football.
They can't run the football at all. None of these teams can with rookie. Like, but look at Denver's rushing stats. They can't run the ball. Everybody's in the box. It just makes life very challenging for you. But there is an aspect that I would be slightly concerned in that so much of what he did successfully in college was extending plays and scrambling around.
Improvising.
Yeah. And it just
he's so hard. He can't do it.
It's so hard, man. He had his second pick. Which wasn't that bad of a throw.
An amazing escape.
But it was a reminder of, like, dude, in college, that's an 80-yard touchdown. Because he evades the sack. He scrambles out. Nobody can touch him. He lobs it over two defenders. And you're like, oh, my God, Caleb is a magician. And here, he barely gets out of it. He's running for his life. He throws it 4 inches too short of where it needed to be.
Pick.
And it's an incredible interception. Yes. And it's just, I don't know. I wasn't like as high as the can't miss stuff on him coming into the draft.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, dropping any microphones 2 games into his season. There is a long ways to go, but he's just going to have to learn that you're not going to be able to get away with some of that stuff in the NFL.
I agree 100%. He also missed a really good throw to DJ Moore on the out. DJ Moore was irate at that.
Yeah.
I also think he got hit in ways he's never experienced in his life.
Dude.
And he will have no success if the Bears do not fix this problem. You can't win if you can't run the ball and block your quarterback. It's impossible.
No, you can't.
From Jacob Gibbs, Geno Smith is the first quarterback since 2021 to hit these thresholds. 40-plus attempts, average depth on throws of 8-plus yards, and 0 off-target throws.
That's pretty solid.
He was effing unbelievable. Yeah. Now, they needed overtime and a field goal to beat the Patriots, but, man, Geno Smith was everything they needed him to be. Geno Smith having a nice little start to his season.
He's having an awesome start to his year. And, again, the theme of not being able to run the football, Seattle averaged basically 2 yards a carry. They couldn't run the football.
Well, they did not have Kenneth Walker.
It was sharp. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't do anything. And you should be able to create a little more separation than that, even with a backup back. That's been kind of a running back by committee situation for a while now. It feels like because of injuries that they've gone through, you can't run the ball. You put it all on the shoulders of your quarterback. Geno was awesome. I saw somebody with a great take. Geno Smith is already through his reclamation project. Where was he drafted? What team drafted? The New York Jets?
Yeah.
Who is another quarterback who is going through a bit of a reclamation this year who was also drafted by the New York Jets? And it was just like, if we get the Darnold full circle like we've got the Geno full circle, can we just kick the Jets out of the league? Like,
well, you won't because McCarthy won't be their starter next year.
Sure, next year. But I'm saying this year, if he plays well, he'll get an opportunity
he'll
to
be
go.
Maybe Baker, right?
Yes, he's going to go find his next spot, and he's going to be viewed as maybe a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, you got two of those in the span of a decade. Shut it down, Jets. Shut it down.
The San Francisco 49ers lost to the Vikings yesterday. They went 2 of 10 on third down. If you look at the box score, you say, how did that happen? You go, simply that stat right there. That, it was just that. 2 of 10 on third down, you will not win. Did you know, though, they have not beat the Vikings in Minnesota since 1992.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a stat.
How about that fun fact?
How many times is there a number on how many times they played?
I didn't see the total number, but I know saw that they have
every
not
couple
won
of
in
years,
Minnesota since 1992.
Every few years you get matched up with the NFC North and you play them, sometimes at home, sometimes on the road.
I said it on Friday. You said, would you be shocked? I said, no. There's something about Minnesota. They don't play well at Minnesota. That's always been my memory on it. And they always have a dumb game. That was obviously their dumb game. Vikings with a nice win against the Niners.
Third down conversions will kill you like that. Brock had a couple of kind of funky turnovers, some deflected balls batting around in the air and that kind of stuff. You give up a 98-yard touchdown catch, too, when that's not a good recipe to win. And dare I say, now again, I'm not tooting my horn too early here. I think Minnesota's a good team.
I'm not sure where to go with a lot of these teams. I know they're 2-0. I don't know where I'm at on a lot of these
totally
teams.
That's totally fair. I like their defense. I thought they're improved. I think their offensive line is better than it's been in the last couple of years. We know about the weapons that they may be the best wide receiver in the NFL. You don't need Sam Darnold to be Hercules. Just go, don't be stupid, and turn the ball over four times, and you're going to have a chance to win.
Yeah, very nice start for Minnesota and Sam Darnold. Conundrum for me, I'm a Niner fan, and I had Justin Jefferson on my fantasy team.
Yes, no.
It was awful. I need to kind of whiz through some of these, so I'm going to read a couple of these. 272 days. That was the last time the Carolina Panthers held a lead, and Bryce Young has one conversion on 20 third down dropbacks this season. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield have 46 touchdowns and 14 picks since they left the Panthers. They are the worst team in football. Yeah. He is a bust. He was asked about his confidence. He said, my confidence is in the Lord, but he said it in a child's voice. We told you not to draft him. There was nothing that made him better than CJ Stroud. Everybody knew that. And we even had a Carolina bro. They just didn't question it. And here you are. He is making awful throws. I watched a big chunk of that game.
He's broken.
He is awful. Yeah. That is over.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers had 237 rushing yards against the Colts yesterday.
Dear God, why did we gamble on the Colts? Why?
That was the first half.
Why?
237 rushing yards. All Green Bay did was run, and Indy said, we think Malik is going to throw still. Unbelievably stupid.
Also, Anthony Richardson. Who, buddy?
He's lucky Bryce Young's a thing.
Who, buddy? That was a bad game.
Brock Powers had 12 catches for 125 yards against Baltimore before coming back to win. The Raiders had lost 49 straight games when entering the fourth quarter, trailing by double digits.
Do I owe an apology to Antonio Pierce? I'm not bowing down to Raider fan, though. Raider fan didn't show up last week. If you don't show up after running your mouth, you can't then come back when things are good.
That's inexcusable.
That's my thing. You want to be a fan and sound off when we're wrong.
Fire away.
Do not disappear when your team sucks. That's my only thing about listeners and fans is I will always admit when I'm wrong.
Yes.
But you cannot disappear when your team sucks.
I got to bring my ass in here to work. I can't avoid it. I'm not calling in sick. You got to show up too.
Max Crosby, un-effing believable.
Insanely good.
The Giants became the first team in NFL history to score three touchdowns, hold their opponent to zero touchdowns, and lose.
They didn't have a field goal kicker.
They lost their field goal kicker in pregame, and they didn't sign one when they knew he was banged up.
No.
I sprayed the line on him.
They had to go for it on fourth down. You gambled on the Giants, man, and they almost won.
Well, I put him in a teaser, actually, and that was the move.
Yeah,
tease him to 7.5 was the move. The Ravens cost me a big teaser yesterday. I would have won a good chunk of money on a teaser. Sean Payton, down 7, decided to not go up for an onside kick, sub 2 minutes with one timeout. Do we want to be honest yet, or is everybody on my side of things here that he sucks? Are we going to keep waiting this out? That he's somehow going to figure out what he did in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Are we going to keep waiting on that?
I mean, it's tough because he's got a rookie quarterback.
Is he going to keep paying media members to mouth off that he's some genius still? Or do we want to be honest about Sean Payton?
I love the animosity.
Did you see his
Sean
huddle
Payton
play?
What huddle play?
Nate Tice. Go look at Nate Tice's Twitter. There's a play where he calls into Bo Nix and they're in a huddle. He has to look down at his band because Sean Payton's offense is archaic.
Yeah, the verbiage is so long.
The verbiage is a paragraph every single play. And so it's go watch the highlight. Sean Payton, woof.
Not kicking an onside kick there. Look, I understand the odds are lesser than what they've been in years past, which is another reason why I hate the stupid new kickoff rule. It's dumb, and you need to give teams a chance to come back.
Yeah.
But I digress. You don't you kicked it deep, and you got it back with 9 seconds left.
And my final little NFL factoid, and we'll go to the Civil War. Somebody break up the Saints. The Saints have scored in the 40s in back-to-back games to open a season for the first time since 09. Coincidentally, might have been last time Peyton was good. They have scored on every possession that Derek Carr has quarterbacked.
What is happening?
I don't know.
Are they good?
Kamara's healthy.
Well, yeah, I mean, Olave's awesome. Obviously, everybody knows
that. Knows he's the number one wide receiver in the league. Dude, he's a stud.
Shaheed is having a monster start to his year.
I mean, Carr looks great, though, too.
Clint Kubiak. He's the Niner tree. He's a Shanahan guy.
I know.
His dad was a Shanahan guy.
He was.
Father's sons.
Yeah, so people were debating that yesterday. Who do we give the credit to here? Is that a Kyle thing or is it a Mike thing? Because is it a Clint thing or a Gary thing? Or
Kyle had to give Clint the job for him to be a thing.
He did.
So it's Kyle.
But Mike gave it to
Kyle. But he also gave it to Gary.
But Clint's not,
And Gary gave it to Clint.
I'm so confused.
So Clint gave it to...
And I'm confused because I think the Saints are a good team, and never in a million years did I see that coming.
We'll get back into the NFL. I'm not ready to say who's good and who's not good yet. I mean, there are a couple teams.
All we have to go off of is what we've seen. In 2 weeks, they look like a good
team. The Saints, I look like an idiot on the Saints. I'll tell you that much 2 weeks
in. What is happening, man?
Loaded second hour. We'll pivot out. We'll get back into the NFL. The Civil War, not so kind to my Beavs, and the Apple Cup. Glorious day for the Cougs. Hour two on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.